Well, hello once again, and welcome. Welcome to another session in the Word of God. I pray that you will be alert today and that you'd hear every word that is said and that you would understand it as well. Because what purpose is there in giving out a word if the people, the hearers, do not understand it? Anyway, I've entitled my message today, Do Unto Others. Do Unto Others. Now, you can take that two ways. Do unto others as they do unto you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You see, there's a big difference there. There's quite a gap, right? So, that's the name of the message. And I'd like to ask you something, you know. Consider this. Did you ever hear about the rich benefactor who gave continuously to the poor and the downtrodden? I'm sure you've heard of one or two or more somewhere along the way. Well, this benefactor, he fed the children. He clothed the children. He built homes and church buildings for various groups. Although he himself, now, he was not a Christian. You know, there are a lot of non-Christians out there who do wonderful works. But, you see, the point is, works, good works or whatever, will never get you to heaven. Oh, no, not at all. But, I mean, nonetheless, supposing this is all true about this benefactor, he did all this. Well, what a guy, right? First thing comes to mind. Wow. Boy, he's sure helping people. He must be a godly person. Surely the Lord God will have a very special place prepared for this rich guy when he gets to heaven. Is that what you're thinking? Guess what? The rich man died. And he went to hell. Isn't that a sad story? After all that he did to help others, he died and went to hell. It's true. Can money buy happiness? Sure can. Can you take your money with you when you die? You sure can. Just beware of grave robbers. I've heard about people, I don't know how true it is or if it's true at all, taking their money into their casket with them, having a vault sealed so people can't get at it because they didn't want anybody else to have it. Oh. Well, I'll not pursue that any further. Let me say this before we get into the message. Riches are a wonderful thing while you're alive. But riches, they don't mean a pinch of snuff after you're gone. Nothing at all. No matter what you've heard, excuse me, no matter what you've heard, you cannot take it with you. Like I say, you can go to the grave, into the vault, but you cannot take it to where your final destiny is. My friends, this is where the rubber meets the road. Well, you can live to be 60, 70, 100 or more years. But when the end comes, when that end comes, all that's going to matter to God is what you did for Him. What you did for God. And the greatest thing you can do for Him is two words, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Let's have a short prayer and then we'll continue on with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity you've given me to set forth this message you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that the ears that hear it would be unstopped, Lord, that hearts would be open and receptive to what is said here today. And when all excuse me, when all is said and done, may you be glorified, Lord God, and may Jesus be lifted up, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, much of the heresy that is preached in so many churches today is about how much God wants to do for you. And that he wants everyone to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, if you don't believe me, just ask Joel Osteen. Ask him. Now listen carefully. What God wants for you is to believe in the gospel of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That he came to this sin-cursed earth for the sole purpose to take our place on that cruel cross at Calvary. That's right. So that we may be able to escape the sin that doth so easily beset us. The sin that will not allow us to enter in to his heavenly presence. What's wrong with rich people, you ask? They do good work for the poor. And for others, too. Even politicians. Oh. This is true. This is why the Apostle Paul penned Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. Not of works. Do you see what I'm getting at here? Of all the money people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates combined have, not one penny of that great wealth can be used to buy their way to heaven. You just can't buy your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. Heaven is through repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 19:24, we'll take a look at Matthew. Let's open our Bibles. If you have your Bible, Matthew 19. And let's see, 19:24. Here we are. This is Jesus speaking here. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Ooh. Jesus was talking to his disciples there. Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, and here's the important thing. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we know a camel can't go through the eye of a needle, and that's the whole point. It's not what's in your hand, it's what's in your heart that matters to God. There are those who lived all their lives immersed in great wealth and bequeathed in their will their entire fortune to the poor and the needy. Will this get them to heaven? No. Never. A good deed is only a deed if it's a God-filled deed. A good deed is only a deed if it's a God-filled deed. That's what makes it of any worth. If it's done because God wants you to do it. Not because you want some favor with God, because you can't work and earn favor from God. You do things that are good and that please God because of who you are. Once you are saved, once you become a Christian, then you have a desire to do things. Naturally, they come to you. through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. There are those who lived all their lives in great wealth and bequeathed their entire fortune to the poor and needy. Didn't help them one mite, not one mite. Let's turn to Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 42. I like this. Mark 12, verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, now listen carefully. He's talking to his disciples here. Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. Wow. Now turn over in your King James Bible to Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. Luke just before John. 16, there's 15, and there's 16. 16:19. 17, 18, 19. Okay, let's read. Oh. Now, the rich man and Lazarus. That's the heading of this particular area of the Bible. But, you know, and it's placed in the Bible, as some would say, a parable. But, you know, I really don't think, now I'm not disputing God's word, but I really don't think this is a parable. I think it's really happened. All right? Now, listen carefully. There was a rich man. Pardon me, let me get it right. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Getting the picture? And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, the rich man, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, this is verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou are tormented. So you get the contrast between the rich and the poor, and why it's so difficult for a rich person to get into heaven? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle? Do you get that? You know, before going any further, I just want to reiterate this. It's not a sin to have money. Riches. It's not a sin as such, but only if these riches come from above. If these riches are given unto you by God, like they were unto Abraham in Old Testament times, you know, like cattle, you know, and modes of living sort of, and this sort of thing, it's different. But if they come through gambling or winning a lottery or robbing the poor, that's a whole different story. You see, the riches of man throughout all eternity is that of only a poor fool in the eyes of God. A poor fool in the eyes of God. Except now he be a child of the king, like Abraham. And only if he puts others before himself. Do you put others before yourself? Some say, well, my family comes first, and as long as they have all that they want, ... Well, this type of reasoning really doesn't sit well with a holy and righteous God. But doesn't God love a cheerful giver? Yeah. Only if the cheerful giver is a cheerful believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. You know, I've learned a lot since my army days. Oh, army days. Whew. When I lived from payday to payday. Difficult times. I wasn't saved at the time, and it was the attitude was every man for himself. For himself. You know, if a guy gets in your way, step on him. Don't step over him, step on him. That's what it was like back then. Now, when you come by faith and give your life to Christ, the phrase for himself has to take on a new meaning. The only way you can find peace and joy in the Lord is to empty of self. You got that? Empty of self. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to come in. You see, as long as you're full of self, then there ain't no room for the Holy Spirit to take up residence. You got that? No room. Okay? Now, some of you may be wondering what it means to empty of self. Basically, to empty of self is to give all that you possess to God. You thought I was going to say to the poor, didn't you? No, give all that you possess to God and allow the Holy Spirit to replenish you anew so you be fit for the service of the Lord. You see, you may own a gold mine, but if you don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's all it is a gold mine. In the eyes of God, it's only a gold mine. But if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you trust in God Almighty, and you let the Holy Spirit do your leading, your guiding, that's a whole different story. A whole different story. Now, I've been talking about worldly riches, and that's fine, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it. I've seen families in my walk with God who just oozed, with the Spirit of God. It just like almost come to the surface. My wife and I were young Christians at the time. We had been invited you've got to listen carefully. We'd been invited to spend the night with another Christian family. Well, nothing unusual about that. Happens all the time. Now, listen carefully. Now, at first glance, the joy of sharing the things of God, well, that was plenty enough. That was enough blessing just to share the night in the presence of other believing Christians. However, what we didn't know was the royal treatment. The royal treatment now of having the head seats at the table, and then having the master bedroom on top of all that. Woo. When these blessings begin to occur in your Christian life, you soon begin to understand that putting Christ first and others second is really where the blessings begin. You got it? I've known numerous Christian families over the years who'd give you not only their greatest comfort, but also their last morsel of food. They would. Like I said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Now, according to the Scriptures, there are many ways to give. And there are. And it doesn't always mean money. In fact, money is way down the line. The first and the greatest example of giving is recorded in John 3:16. You probably know it by heart, but in case you don't, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. What one can give of self, though, is greater and more precious than all the gold in the world. For example, these might seem like minor things. In a way, they may be. But listen. To be at the bedside of a dying friend. To give him comfort. Taking your kids to the park instead of sending them. Hugging with both arms instead of a handshake or a knuckle rub. Telling someone that they look nice even when they don't. Greeting an angry response with, "Have a nice day." All right, let's go to, in your Bibles, your King James Bible, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And read the Word of God, which has to say, okay, let's begin for, okay, let's go back to verse 6. 6 to 9, all right? Chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. Okay. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Forever. Lovely verses. Lovely verses. Encouraging verses. You know, one day I visited with an elderly couple who, even though they were beyond the age of physical labor, still they continued to toil feverishly day after day. Now you might say, well, how's that? Well, listen, they lived in a two-room dwelling of low esteem. Get in the picture? When I asked them why they had not moved to a bigger and better place, for their income seemed sufficient to meet their needs, as there was only the two of them, they replied, "But kind sir, we have our children and our church to support." "But I thought you lived alone, just the two of you." And they replied, "This is true, but our children live far away in another land. We only see them in pictures and letters. And when they get to be adults and can fly on their own, then there are always other children that God gives to us. So you see, sir, we are thankful to God that we have this place. And then he added, this. One day, by the grace of God, we will both move to a higher plane. But for now, we are happy to continue serving our Lord. You know, somebody once coined the phrase, life is all give and take. There are givers and there are takers. There are those who love and those who hate. There are winners and there are losers. There are pickers and there are choosers. But when all is said and done, all there really is are believers and non-believers. If you'll pardon the saying, that's where the rubber meets the road. There are believers and there are non-believers. It's important that you know the difference. It's important. I would that it were that every living soul on the face of the earth were a believer in Christ. For only then could civilization be fully redeemed. But it will not be that way. It will not be that way. For without evil, there can be no good. Without wrong, there can be no right. Without God, there can be no heaven. No remission of sins without Jesus Christ. The greatest tragedy the world could ever know is to not know God. To not know God. Now, friends, in closing, I'd like you to turn to Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. Luke 17, titled Faith and Forgiveness. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Have you any idea how the little children fit into God's mind, into his heart? Have you? God loves the little children. He spoke often of them in the scriptures. And you know what? If you look around the world today, people are having eating fests, you know, where they go on binges, where they have contests to see who can eat the most hot dogs. And they're stuffing their face and they're spewing it out in other directions. People are doing this and they're throwing food in the garbage that's quite edible. Just because I don't like that. You know, God frowns deeply upon this sort of thing. You know, there are children all over this world right now, even as I speak, who are starving, virtually starving to death. I'd like to know, what are we doing for them, to help them? And then there's the enemy, the great enemy, who are there and preventing a lot of the food from getting through to these children and medical care to get through to these children. And the children are dying. And not only are the children dying from starvation and lack of medical food, medical being, but also they're being slaughtered. They're being trod upon, literally stepped on by the feet of the enemy. They're being beheaded even. These children mean so much to God, I cannot describe it. And you who do these things or prevent the good from getting through to the poor, you will one day stand before God and you will answer, and I would not want to be in your shoes. Take warning. Take warning, ye who trouble the body and spirit of the little children. Take warning. You know, I believe with all my heart that those who bring harm in any form to the little children, they will know of a death far greater than hell itself. Now, you're probably thinking, well, hell's the final death. Oh, it is, all right. It's a death where there is no remorse. It's a death where there is no way of overcoming the suffering. Your suffering will be greater because of the way you denied or treated the little children. That's what it means. I want to thank you all for listening today. I want to thank you for taking the time. And I pray that these words that were spoken will have some meaning to you, and that they will draw you closer to our great God. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.